Well, good afternoon, everyone. I've been working with this presentation quite a while, and I've gotten it down to 30 minutes, so I should get you out of here before this evening. I'd also like to recognize my collaborator, Steve Marget. He's kind of the guy that knows all that El Nino stuff, and I do the modeling. For those of you who don't know, Texas can be dry. In fact, the high plains we get from 450 to 500 millimeters, 18 to 20 inches of rainfall. That's not enough for full performance cotton, so if you're going to get there, you need to irrigate. Can y'all hear me okay? Does this help at all? Okay, I'll tell the truth then. Anyway, a lot of people have been using irrigation to get their crops to perform well. And as a result, since we all irrigate from the same aquifer, we've been drawing the water table down. Declining water tables also decrease the irrigation pump capacity. In other words, it doesn't put out as much water. And I've got an example here. It shows from the 50s that the declining water table, and actually that pump capacity has dropped off. The first 20 years it went by half, the next 20 years it dropped off another half, and this is a problem that's everywhere, and the solutions are kind of limited. In other words, a lot of folks are just irrigating fewer acres. It's possible that you can get some insight in terms of what your yield or your rainfall is going to be and what your growing season, how it may end based on the El Nino Southern Oscillation Index. If you have more rain, you need less irrigation water, probably, or at least you can get or hold your yields. Now, I'm showing here fall rainfall and temperatures for an El Nino year on top, where you see we get more rain in Texas, even in Oklahoma, and have a little bit cooler conditions in an El Nino year compared to the normal. In contrast, the La Nina is both drier in terms of precipitation and warmer, a good bit warmer. Now, that would possibly extend your growing season, and maybe that's worthwhile to manage your crop accordingly when you're irrigating. So our objectives were to conduct a modeling exercise where we evaluate whether, well, El Nino, La Nina, and normal weather patterns effects on yield of cotton that was either planted at the normal time or delayed a couple of weeks. We had a differing irrigation capacity and differing irrigation durations that we were evaluating. Now, you have to keep in mind that in 42 years of simulations that we did, we had 21 of those years were normal, 13 years were El Nino years, 8 years were La Nina. Now, if you're trying to conduct an experiment and hit enough La Nina years that you could make some, draw some conclusions, you'd be up there in years. So what we did, this is made to order to use with a crop growth simulator. We used Gossam. We that in supplied the normal weather data for Gossam. It simulated cotton growth for 30-inch rows, 3 plants per foot. Emergence was set a day on days 145 and then a week or two later. The El Nino Southern Oscillation Index phase thing, that was determined in June because that's about as early as you can predict the rest of the year. And that information is available on the first week of July. It's on the internet. It's still, it's too late to affect how you plant. It's not too late to affect how you manage your irrigation. So soil parameters were basically what we measured. There were a few factors we borrowed from the model. We set it up for initial water content of 75% because that's kind of similar to our sweep tillage approach. We made sure that we had everything kind of set so that the crop was not limited, except for maybe the water, and that was the test. Our irrigation test was rain only or dry land, and then we irrigated at 2, 3, or 4 gallons per minute per acre, which is 2.5, 3.8, or 5 millimeters per day. And we did this for 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks. So basically all of July and August, and a couple weeks even into September. I'll skip the 6 weeks. So what did we discover? I've got here plotted the total ET by irrigation treatment. I've got dry land as the gray one, 2.5 millimeter, 2, 3, and 4 gallons per minute as striped white and black. You see the emergence dates are blocked, and then the normal El Nino and La Nina phases are just in there. And to make a long story short, the only thing that seemed to be having effect on the ET has been our irrigation. The emergence date didn't affect how the water was used. There might have been a little bit of a benefit with El Nino since it's a little bit wetter on ET. The leaf area index, which was observed at first open bowl, which falls after that 10 weeks, by a day or two. Anyway, that follows for the most part how the ET had gone. In other words, no real response to the emergence date. The leaf area index, LAI, increased as the amount of water use increased. And really not a strong effect due to the El Nino phases, except maybe La Nina, which was drier. So, water use in the leaf area index give you an indication of plant growth, plant size. The emergence issues comes back to whether or not you've got adequate time for maturing the bulbs and getting limbs. This issue, or this thing here, is showing now that unlike with ET and the leaf theory index, our yield is decreasing as emergence date is delayed. No surprise there. Our yield also increases as the amount of water increases. The conclusion is water is a wonderful thing, more is better. Not necessarily, but more is good. Yield did not really show a strong response to the El Nino phases, except for the El Nino case, where you had a lot more rain or it's cooler fall. That case actually closed the difference between the 3.8 and the 5 millimeter per day treatments. Another way of looking at this lint yield also was the number of weeks we applied those irrigations. In an El Nino year, you can see here that irrigations for 4 weeks on average yielded no differently than irrigations of 8 or 10 weeks. It didn't matter if, you know, on your emergence date, whether it was the normal or the delayed 2 weeks. The normal El Nino phase or the La Nina phase, both of those early on, the early emergence, did have a difference between the 4 weeks, the 6 weeks, and the 8 or 10 weeks. So, I'll go ahead and summarize that. I want to make sure we get through in this right amount of time. Basically, our simulated cotton water use increased pretty much as the irrigation water applied increased for the 2.5 and the 3.8 millimeter per day. I had a little spillage at the 3.8 millimeter per day, but not much. The 5 millimeter per day, we were putting on 60, probably using 20, maybe 30 millimeters of it. And again, it was unaffected by our seedling emergence. Mostly we're just growing the plant, not maturing the crop. The leaf area index likewise followed that same pattern. The more water we applied, the bigger the plants became, the bigger our leaf area index. It was sort of independent of the phase, albeit the El Nino year, which had 30 millimeters more rain, tended to have a little bit better leaf area index. Our cotton lint yields, as you notice, decreased as our emergence was delayed 1 and 2 weeks. And it was that way for all phases. Though I'd say the next part there, the lint yield that increased with increasing irrigation capacities, that tended not to differ as much for the El Nino as it did for the La Nina or the normal. And it looks like 3.8 millimeters per day on average was meeting the water demand for our crop. So, I guess in conclusions, yes, the El Nino Southern Oscillation Index can give us some insight as to what to expect as far as how to manage our irrigation. If I know we're rolling in on an El Nino year, which is going to be cool and wet, I'm thinking an early crop is for sure the only thing we're going to get, and I'm thinking you put the spurs to it and irrigate and push that crop hard to get it where you've got something to harvest later. That generally reinforces kind of your accepted recommendation, but if you've got a La Nina year, and you might be inclined to focus that water and push it beyond 6 weeks. I'd go to 8 anyway. But the only thing really firm here was the El Nino. You know, it's going to be wet and cool, and you probably won't see much of a benefit beyond that 4 weeks of irrigation. And hopefully I saved a little time for questions.
Great. We do have a minute or two for questions.
Yes, sir.
That was a kind of a standard stripper cultivar. It was had success with it. Now these yield numbers, these are averages of it. No fewer than 8. So as it rises and falls with the year, you know, you can have different freeze dates. Some of those freeze dates actually had affected the El Nino quite a bit. The main thing, though, is in La Nina years, you'd have the dry growing conditions, but you also have a lot more water drawn from that that plant because of dry, hot, dry winds. But really, to draw a bead on your point, I guess it's yield limitations could be on the rainfall. It's erratic in both when you get it, and it's erratic as to when. As to how much you get, and with a capacity limited irrigation, in other words, you can only put on 25 millimeters or 50 millimeters in 10 days. When you've got that, you can get a water stress that occurs at the wrong time. And it's more neutralized by El Nino conditions than the others. Yes, sir.
I'm from the southeast, and we've been working with the same kind of effects. But there, the El Nino effects are expressed most strongly in the winter and very early spring months. Especially in the summertime, you can't tell what kind of year we're in. Is that what you see in Texas, or is it a different pattern?
Yes, that's exactly what we see. I mean, our long-term records show El Nino years, normally you don't see any significant difference in rainfall. Why it showed up in this, I'm not so sure. It boosted our rainfall amounts a little bit. I'm also figuring that while it's a small increase, I mean less than 30 millimeters of rain increase, which is 10%, we may have a lot less of the hot, dry winds blowing. So we got a little bit of a benefit, and that was kind of a surprise. I'll have to admit, I didn't expect to see El Nino showing up. I was really hoping that the La Nina would extend our growing season and we could get away with late planting days.
All right, thanks, Dr. Buckley.